السلام علیکم. اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Samaya, and like most of you children here, I go to school, and tomorrow is actually my first day of university, or my first year of second year university. And to be honest, I'm actually one of those students who really, really like going to school, so I've been looking forward to this day. But there's something that really, really scares me about going back to school. My biggest fear is that when we're, you know, when we're in summer, when we're around, when we spend time with our families, and we spend time at the mosque, around people who have the same beliefs as us, when we spend time around each other, for example, it's really easy for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really easy for us to do the things that Allah has commanded us to do, when we're around people who also do the same things. But when we're at school, especially at university, which is where I'm going to be going, we are around people who don't believe in the same things as we do, and who, some people, we don't even know what it means to believe, what it means to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that environment, it becomes really difficult, I find, for myself, that it becomes really difficult to do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, to remember the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to follow them to the best of our abilities. And that becomes difficult. We sort of get really afraid that people will think we're really weird if we tell them that we don't listen to music, or if we, you know, tell them that we don't eat pork, for example. We get sort of afraid of doing that. And even if we do these things, we sometimes don't know why. We sometimes can't explain to ourselves why we're doing these things. And if we can't explain them to ourselves, then it becomes difficult when people ask us questions to explain it to them as well. And I think that all of these fears that we have and all of these feelings that we have, they're pretty valid feelings. Because, I mean, we're in an environment where nobody knows what we're doing, why we're believing these things, why we're doing these things. So these fears, these feelings, they become valid. However, let me explain. There's a simple way actually to avoid these fears and still do what Allah wants. Let me explain this.
Sure.
First of all, my question to you is, why should we even try to control that? Why should we try? Now, there's obviously the obvious answer to that, which is, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will put the unbelievers in hell, and that he will take the people who do good acts. But there's also another reason. And this other reason has to do with the responsibility in the Bible of the Imam.
Many there are plenty of problems.
So, the purpose of the Imam, and the Imam of our time, the Imam of the purpose of an imam is to lead, but the people cannot do that until they are ready to be led. There is other duties by the imam, that says that if there were as many true Shias in this world as there were in the Battle of Badr, so 313 true Shias in this world, then the imam Zamana would reappear. There's another hadith from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. Which says that many of us who believe, when the Imam Zamana appears, we will not help him. We will be actually the ones that will fight against him. And many of us who seem to be, you know, worshipping entities other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be the ones that will be standing beside the Imam and fighting alongside with him. There's something very wrong with that picture. The fact that those of us who really do believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who really do want to gain his favor, we won't be the ones that will be standing by him. Instead, the people who seem to be obeying not Allah but other entities will be the ones that will be some of the ones that will be helping them. So, even though we don't know exactly when the Imam will return, and we don't know when he will appear, and we also don't know why he's in the Bible in the first place, what our responsibility becomes in his absence is to make ourselves ready for his appearance, so that when he comes, inshallah, which will be very soon, we will be ready to fight alongside him. We won't be one of the people who will fight against him instead. So our waiting for the Imam should not be a passive waiting. We shouldn't just simply pray for the Imam to return without actually doing anything about it. When we, for example, when we invite somebody to our house, we invite guests to our house, we prepare for that. We clean our house, we cook food for our guests, we wear nice clothes. But when we invite the Imam to reappear, we should also be making preparations. Because the Imam is the one who's about to be the first day. But he will expect us to have beliefs. That would be his sustenance. So the sustenance we can provide him with is our belief. Secondly, we can, instead of cleaning our houses, we should be cleansing our souls. So one day Mom said, he will have something, he will have this community up, inshallah. And thirdly, we should be clothing ourselves with the baby study performed by Jared, Sabre, not the one where
it's.
Now, how do we do this? That becomes the root of the problem. We know these problems, but how?
Chief guest has to leave for coffee and cooking coffee at 6:30. You guys need to ask somebody else to give a speech and the chief guest.
Fine. Many chief guests from two, na. Shabi bhai ko jana hai, Dr. Shabi ko.
Bani rakho.
हमारे पास अभी वैसे भी टाइम है हमारे मामले जमा हो गए
हैं। The secret is that okay, now listen carefully. So the secret is that everything that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has asked us to do, everything from the biggest thing, for example, from salah, to the smallest things, everything that He's asked us to do, and everything that He's asked us to stay away from, is for our own good. So everything He's asked us to do and everything He's asked us to stay away from is for us. Because He knows us best. He is our creator. He has created us. And not only us, He's created everything we witnessed, everything that we see that's outside of us and everything that's inside of us. And because He has created everything, He knows us best. And because He knows us best and because He's the Rahim, He's the Kareem, He wants what's best for us. And that is why He sent guidance from the Prophet ﷺ, from the Imams, and from His holy book. So recite salawat, please. So because He knows us, again, because He knows us, because He wants what's best for us, He's given us guidance. And the guidance that He's given us is, again, for our own good. So if you remember this, the simple solution, if you remember this, we will trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that everything He's asked us to do, whether we can understand the reason for it or not, it's for our own good. So if we believe this truly, and if we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, and we make this trust sit in our hearts, and we remind ourselves often of why we trust Him, then it becomes sort of difficult to sin. It becomes difficult. So, you know, for example, if you're a girl, if, you know, it's really hot outside and your friend comes up to you and she's wearing, you know, tank tops and short shorts, and she comes up to you and she says, oh my gosh, it's so hot outside, aren't you hot? Why are you wearing so much clothes? You know, you can, if you remember that reason, and if you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can look at her without feeling ashamed or without having to apologize and say, I do this, I wear so much clothes, as you say, not because, you know, I want to punish myself, but because somebody who I trust completely has told me that doing this is good for myself. And because I trust him completely, I'm going to do as he says. Even if it sometimes seems difficult, even though it gets hot sometimes, I will do this because I know it's best for me in this world and in the hereafter. And, you know, even when there's some situations where you actually have to, you know, tell people, you know, actively tell people about your faith. For example, if you're getting a ride home with a friend and he or she listens to music, it's sometimes, you know, it's really difficult for us sometimes to speak up and say, you know, could you please turn off your music? I don't listen to music. But if you recall that, you know, that you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when He tells you the music is bad, even if you can't understand right now why, that you trust Him and know that it's bad for you in some ways that perhaps you can't understand, then you'll want to speak out. Then you'll want to say something about it to protect yourself from that sin. So inshallah, this will help you. So inshallah, if you remember this secret, as I say, it will inshallah help you to avoid sin, even though we are obviously in an environment where it's very difficult to do so, especially at school when you're surrounded by people who don't understand you. And so my brother is going to be telling you a couple of stories that go along with this point. Besides a lot of these.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So I will tell a few stories to support Sumaira's speech. The first story, it's about a man who goes to buy sugar. So this is probably not a real story, but it has a good meaning behind it. So basically, a man, he goes to buy sugar at a store, and he enters the store and he asks the shopkeeper to give him some sugar. The shopkeeper, he said that he doesn't have weights to weigh the sugar, but he has some dirt that he can use instead to weigh the sugar. So he puts the dirt on the weighing scale, and he goes in the back of the store to fetch some sugar. Coincidentally, this man who came to buy some sugar, he has a kind of an illness. He has an illness where he wants to eat dirt. He wants to eat sand. I know it's a strange kind of illness, but some people have it. So basically, when he sees that, you know, the shopkeeper is going in the back of the store, he looks so that the shopkeeper isn't looking at him, and he starts eating the sand. He starts eating the dirt. And so he eats some more. The shopkeeper notices this, and he takes even longer to bring the sugar, because the longer he will take, the more sand the guy will eat, and the less sugar he has to give him. So in the end, the man he returns with very little sugar, and so basically, like, it's a strange scenario for us to understand. If you ask the man, why he ate the sand, he will say maybe something like, I was tempted, you know, I really wanted to have, you know, that sand, right? It's very illogical, but in the end, he was at loss, right? We see that this example, although it's strange, although it's very, very irrational, it applies to all of us. It applies to all of us because we know that we came in this world for a goal. Right, just as that man went to that shop for a goal. His goal was to get the sugar. Our goal is to get thawab. Our goal is to make our hereafter better. Right? Our goal isn't to eat the dirt. Our goal isn't to have the sand. Like the guy's goal wasn't that. Our goal isn't to commit sins. Our goal isn't to, you know, do what is against God. Right? Because that will end up harming us. Just as, you know, when the guy ate sand, the sand isn't healthy for you. Sand is actually very bad for you to eat, right? Just as sins are very bad for us. So if we understand, as Sumaira said, that what Allah has told us is good for us, then we would never, you know, we would never do such a thing as eating sand, which is similar to, you know, committing sins. My other example, my other story, this one is a real story. So basically, there is a huge, basically a party going on, right, in a house, and there's people drinking. There's lots of noise. The maid of the house, she comes out with some garbage, and she brings it to the front, and she sees a man is there who looks by his face very pious. He looks very religious, like he has a mark of the sajda on his forehead. The man asks her, is the owner of this house a slave or is he a free man? The girl replies, free man. The man says, obviously that he's a free man, because if he was a slave, he would be aware of his true owner who is God. He would be aware of him and he wouldn't commit such a thing. He wouldn't be having such a gathering. So they talk for a while, and the girl goes back into the house, and the man and the owner of the house, because the girl was late, asks her why she was late. And then she explains to him the entire story, and she explains to him that such a man came and he said such a thing. The owner of the house, he sits down, he thinks for a while, and the statement of this man really affects his heart. The statement that if he was a slave, he would be aware of the one who owns him, who is God. So the man gets up right away and he runs outside without even putting on his shoes. He runs outside and he finds that the man who gave him this advice. And that man was none other than the seventh Imam, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far, alayhi salam. And after that, the owner of the house, he became very religious. He didn't commit sins after that, and he he changed his gathering from bad people to good people, and he led a good life. The moral of the story is that we should be aware of the one who owns us, and we should be obedient to him and him alone. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, to give us the ability to realize that he is our owner, to obey him, and also to make us realize that the sins that what he has told us to stay away from is actually like that dirt that guy ate. We should not be eating dirt, and we should realize this, that the sins, they're like that. and give us tawfiq to realize to be in search for sugar, which is tawab, inshallah. Salamat.